Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Let's try this again. Welcome back to the Roma Press Podcast. This is technically, 484, Andy? We are going to shelf the one that we recorded yesterday because it was all about Paulo Dybala leaving. So that one will join the ranks of the other two or three episodes, most notably the one I did with Matteo Brighi like 6 to 7 years ago, where he didn't speak any English. I spoke to him in English and he answered in Italian. And then I overdubbed in my own voice. So I was having an interview with myself, one of the worst pieces of audio that ever existed. And if there are the maybe five people who heard it for the hour and a half it was out, you are among the elite few. So we will put yesterday's episode into the vault along with that one. Nonetheless, we're here. We're back. We're going to redo our entire... Andy, it was fantastic because we did the entire episode yesterday. And then quite literally, 3 to 5 hours later, Paulo Dybala does a 180-degree turn on his entire decision. And here we are, recording one day later. Before we get into that, Jordan Rogers, Gianluca Pucci, Alex Paz, Portanova, and Fuad are four new patrons. Thank you for your support. Patreon.com/RomaPress and then @RomaPress on YouTube, social media. Like, subscribe down below. That at least allows us to have enough to purchase the substances that are undoubtedly needed after spending hours recording, editing, getting it ready. And the patrons actually got the one from yesterday, so they heard our raw take. So this is going to be fantastic once we publish this one to the Patreon, and we sound like absolute imbeciles for doing, again, like Paulo Dybala, a 180-degree turn, Andy. And that's where I want to start, because I said yesterday that this entire saga with Paulo Dybala perfectly encapsulates how every single person is as a human. As you put it yesterday, it's an episode on like the human condition. How many times do we waffle over the most banal of decisions, whether what we want even for dinner in that evening, okay? Never mind our entire career, sporting future, so on and so forth. So I am not surprised for the individuals who may have gotten frustrated as to the back and forth, the tennis, so to speak, of this entire saga. I can understand the frustration, but I want to reiterate because, and understandably so, I might add, we had many people with this back and forth thing. Paulo Dybala, the decision is coming today, it's coming tomorrow, it's coming the next day. And people were getting frustrated in some of the comments about, oh my gosh, you know, either we're getting frustrated with this or you guys are reporting BS. But no, you know, whether it comes from us, Sky Sport, Corriere dello Sport, somebody is telling that to them. They're not just, you know, pulling that out of thin air. Somebody from Roma, Alcazaia, Paulo Dybala's camp, they are telling the media this. So you are going to get, as I said in 2 to 3 episodes ago, when there are 2 to 3 parties involved, you are going to get quite often 2 to 3 contradictory statements or sentiments on the situation. So where I come out on this is, again, very simply, anytime a transfer happens, regardless of how important or unimportant the player is to the team, how beloved or not beloved he is by the environment, a transfer only happens when a player wants it. A transfer also doesn't happen when either the conditions are not there for all parties involved, or, again, player doesn't want it. So in a situation like this, more than one thing can be true at one time, because I saw one of our longtime followers, Majin, when I tweeted yesterday about an update on the situation, he said, stop ruining, he said it jokingly, of course, but he said, stop ruining this nice feeling we have. You know, let us believe that Paulo Dybala stayed for the fan support or that he stayed for love of Roma.
Don't shatter our dream. Don't shatter our fairy tale.
But more than one thing can be true. He can love Roman, the supporters, but also the parties couldn't agree to a deal. Now, I am going to repeat verbatim because I don't want to get the words wrong as to what Roma said when this was all coming down, because it got leaked to everybody at the exact same time. When you saw Angelo Mangiante, when you saw Corriere dello Sport, when you saw Sport d'Italia, everybody reporting it at the same time, it's because it is all coming from the same people. We are no different. So I am just going to quote verbatim what the official from Roma told to me. So let me ensure I do not get this right. So he said, in fact, Roma never would have accepted the offer that was on the table of 3 million. You and I knew that. I didn't need Roma to tell me that. You knew that. I knew that. People playing Football Manager who know nothing about football, or who don't follow the real life situations of football, knew that. So that is no surprise. One thing I do have to say, because I did, after I tweeted what I did yesterday about the situation, somebody from Al-Qatsaya sent me a message. They were not happy with the way I worded my tweet. And I will just say here what I said to them. I said, you're a clown. Like, this is clown stuff. You saw something I said on Twitter. You found my mobile, or at least asked for my mobile from somebody. You messaged me out of the blue to express your unhappiness and displeasure with something I tweeted about the situation of Paulo Dybala. They didn't like that it appeared as if they were unwilling to negotiate, or they wouldn't raise the offer of more than 3 million. The fact of the matter is, they didn't. You can say, oh, we were going to raise, or we wanted to. In the words of the great Alec Baldwin, it is, and I'm going to censor it because my children now watch this, it is F or walk. F or walk. Okay, so if they were going to offer more than 3 million, they never did it officially. And I will just I repeated to him exactly what I said to somebody from the Chinese Super League 4 to 6 years ago, when the behavior or the approach, it's very nice that Saudi Arabia is able to attract these big names. You might not like it, whether you consider it sport washing or not. The fact of the matter is, when there are people who are able to see players come play in their home country that they just wouldn't have seen otherwise, I most of the time I am not going to be too upset, because again, money rules the world. These guys are, there's no shock to anyone that these teams and these clubs are able to attract big names with this money. It's generational sorts of wealth that you are giving to your children's 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 children. You know, the difference between what Paulo Dybala is going to make at Roma this season versus what he would have made, it's a factor of 5 that he would have made in Saudi Arabia. So I will never begrudge anybody for doing that. The manner, though, I want to be careful, because like the Chinese Super League some years ago, you can have all the money in the world you want to throw at these players and to attract them. I will never, whether or not I like it is a different situation, but I'm not going to begrudge anybody for using the resources at their disposal. But it is one thing to have this money, but you have to have a much better back-end setup. They need to get management. They need to get professionals in there to help build up this league. The way they carried out this negotiation, what Al-Qatsaya I'm referring to, was very embarrassing. It was embarrassing.
Is that you at your most diplomatic? Because that's quite terrible, John. I don't know which PR school you went to, but that's...
Well, no. When people do this, when they message me out of the blue, I
I understand.
I will respond emotionally in the moment because I think that is that is clown behavior to seek out my contacts and then to message me completely unprompted. We're just because you didn't like the way I worded something in a tweet. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you got upset. Oh my gosh.
Hit the bricks, pal. Didn't like the words in a tweet. Hit the bricks, pal.
Yeah, hit the bricks, pal. So this is something I'm kind of familiar with from a few years ago. And we all remember, when the Chinese Super League had that one summer where they just splashed just obscene amounts of cash about the place. And there were a few negotiations that I was aware of the agent and then the club official from the Chinese Super League involved. It was clownish behavior. So it's going to take more than Guido Fienga being a... Which club is he the CEO of in Saudi Arabia? Do you know?
Al Nassr. Cristiano Ronaldo.
So they're going to need more than just Guido Fienga to bring some legitimacy to that league, because the manner in which this negotiation was carried out was very unprofessional and very, very embarrassing. You can have all the money, all the resources in the world, but if you don't know how to deal with these clubs, if you don't know how to deal with agents, commissions, all of this stuff, you are a non-entity. Hit the bricks, pal. You're gone. Get out. You can't do that. Between this, the Chinese Super League, and that weirdo, I forget his name, during the Friedkin takeover, who emerged out of nowhere. Everybody just called him the Soap King. I forget his name.
Yeah, I remember that guy who went on TV.
Yeah, and he says, he referenced me by name, but he said it very odd. Jean Solana or something like that.
Well, that sounds just like when you pronounce basically any other player's name.
Yeah, John Solana. He said it very fun. Like, I think I still have the video on my phone somewhere. But at the end of the day, Paulo Dybala remains. The outside officials was embarrassing. But Andy, here's the thing. I love the heartwarming stuff. I love seeing, I don't know if I love seeing supporters go outside the homes.
Are you going to kill the celebrations? Are you going to be, be the guy who's not fun at parties?
It's not that I'm not fun. I have, having half a dozen children, I get somewhat irked, just like I did, even though I didn't like the guy. Do you remember when they did this to Pablo Osvaldo, who, when he was actually renting a home, one of the homes of Francesco Totti at the time. And I forget the exact words that were spray painted right outside his door, but it was not something nice. Generally, I'm just against that.
The fact that you remember that means that at that time you were childless, right? At that time, the fact that you remember vividly something involving Paolo Osvaldo is quite telling of where you were in your marital life, John. So I'm just look at yourself now. Think about where you are now with your kids and with Paulo Dybala having all those fans all of a sudden swarm his house like some kind of
I just don't
invasion.
Like that in principle. It can be.
It's odd. It's quite odd. I understand emotions are high. Obviously, this is better than when the fans confronted Nicolò Zaniolo outside his home. This is the better version of that, but it's still creepy. I mean, it's still why would you, and who knows where these people live? Why would you care? I understand it's an emotional display. So it was an emotional day, but I'm not going to ruin your take, John. You're about to go and dump all over people's celebrations, right?
No. That's the line that irks me just a tad, because it's like, this is separate. You know, there has to be some sort of line. I draw it where we're following players to their homes, okay? Much like when the media would nonstop following Galliani when he was at the apartment of Mattia Destro, when he couldn't enter for about 5 minutes, and he is standing there awkwardly in front of about half a dozen reporters, watching him ring and
ring at the doorbell of the apartment building. Yes, that was quite hilarious.
So. Oh, Okay. That was 15 minutes of nonsense.
What are you driving at? What's the point?
Even if he stays, our tastes are not that vastly different. The only difference you're going to hear now, I would say, is the timing factor. I mean, given the timing on this, because in fairness, there were some people who did respond to me saying, well, Roma, we're trying to push him out. I take issue with that standpoint. Even if it has the hue of this,
yeah,
fine. But if that were truly the case, they would not wait until middle.
Not only that, but if they reject Alcaçaz's offer, it means they didn't want to get rid of Paulo Dybala. We've seen Roma want to get rid of players, and in those occasions, the club would do literally anything to have those players leave. Anything. So if
Roma, like they're doing right now with your man Zaleski?
Yeah, or Rick Karsdorp. that's if the club is set on getting rid of a player, they will get it done. With Paulo Dybala, clearly the fact that, first of all, the decision, the offer is rejected by Roma, and then the player does a 180 turnaround, it means that it was, I would say, 90% the player. In terms of the power of the decision-making, it's up to the player. It was a player situation. It was Dybala who was confronted with a situation where he was having doubts. Doubts about his time at Roma, doubts about his future. And again, we said it in this epic episode that did not air. This is the human condition. You can you can want sushi just as you can want Mexican 20 minutes later. You change your mind. These things happen, especially when you have money in question, like Paulo Dybala had in this occasion, you know, 75 million, 3 years, a complete change of lifestyle, complete change of setting. So there's that. He does this turnaround. What are we supposed to take away from it? Well, we're supposed to take away the fact that it's, in terms of storylines, I would say this is one of the better storylines that football may have given us in the last, I think, 3 to 4 years. You know, in terms of this huge player who knows he's huge, everybody knows he's the best player at Roma. Nobody has any doubt who the best player at Roma is. Everybody will tell you it's Paulo Dybala. He has become the face of the club since joining Roma in 2022. So nobody's doubting that. And then confronted with a truck full of money, he says no. I mean, that's the version that we're getting, right? He says no. He turns around and changes his mind, goes back to Trigoria, starts training, says, see you on Sunday. And guess what? He will be probably starting against Empoli on Sunday in a packed Stadio Olimpico, sold-out stadium. The supporters, who were more than likely going to go into that match with the attitude of whistling and booing the ownership for getting rid of Dybala, now will go there and celebrate his presence, his decision. This is huge in terms of just the narrative, in terms of the storyline. I mean, if you're Paulo Dybala, you couldn't be possibly more loved than you are at this very moment by Roma fans.
And not only that, the storyline, the off the pitch, obviously, but on the pitch, though. I mean, man, that is sort of the beauty of sport, just whether it be football, NBA, cricket, I don't care. Just at the snap of a finger, the entire complexion, the entire outlook, the entire view you have of your season goes from one end to another. And this is just him staying. This is all things remaining the same as is. It is just as we were versus him staying versus him leaving. I mean, the mindset, you would have thought Roma, the way people were behaving, Roma went from a relegation candidate to the favorites to win the Scudetto, the way it was just such a shift in excitement, positivity, attitude. It was amazing just to see that. And it is alarming in a way that one player, I do have to say, while it is nice to see, obviously, people being far more happier, it does worry me a bit, perhaps, that now this is obviously just supporters, whether, you know, what Daniele De Rossi, what the squad themselves think. But man, that is an over-reliance that, having watched the Cleveland Cavaliers for far too long, that is an over-reliance that I am never comfortable with. Now, as to whether or not that is actually concrete is a different story, but in the mindset of the supporters, that is an over-reliance on one guy that it worries me some. But still, Andy, you and I in the episode yesterday, we were talking about, oh my gosh, well, who are they going, how do you replace him? Well, you can't replace him, so you get 3 to 4 guys maybe to bring in.
No, I mean, the answer would have been you work your way around him. You focus on other areas of the pitch in order to make up for his absence. That was the thought, the money ball, right? You lose your best player, you're not going to fill that void in quality, so you might as well work your way around it and address the glaring holes in the squad.
Of course. And we were saying yesterday, you're not going to be able to get for him a like-to-like replacement. You're not going to go out there and splash huge amounts of cash for one guy who, you know, day one can come in and replace him. But I was also worried of the mindset of trading one hole for 4 quarters, so to speak, getting 4 players to replace one. I never like that. But as far as dynamics of the market go, I have to say, this is something that perhaps may go underappreciated, is something that may be overlooked. We are looking, in my opinion, of at least an opportunity of a month lost versus a month gained, so to speak. Because I think, again, of last season, Romelu Lukaku comes in the final days. He gets this huge ovation. He's presented third round, third match day. But it takes for him some time to settle, to relax, for Roma to understand how to play with him, to play with Paulo Dybala. And you essentially lose a full month, month and a half even, of points, of performances, expectations, all of that stuff. I can't underscore that enough, because I truly do think that those early points last season, those first three to five rounds costed Roma. But now, Andy, you don't have to go through any transition. Now you don't have to go through any period of adaptation. You don't have to do this very awkward moment of time where you have to have this marquee player come in, understand how to play with these teams. Everybody is here. Everybody has been here. You have not added a big name in recent weeks. Everyone is here. So this is something now where how I approach these next matches, let's go. Come on. Let's go now. It's like that one Marco Violi, that GIF, that one that our friend...
Yes.
That they come up with all the time. This has really gave me like a shot in the arm, because you don't have to travel too far back to understand the implications of leaving your market late to getting all your business out of the way early and letting the players understand each other.
Yeah, well, that was always going to be an issue. The issue for me, it was never going to be about letting Paulo Dybala walk. Obviously, we've all understood the importance of him, the quality that he brings to the team. We know that. To me, the issue would have been, part of me could envision him leaving this summer, especially with Mourinho gone. You know, you start to have some doubts, especially with that release clause in July. So that always could have been an option. The thing that was wrong and that was bothering me about it, obviously, was the timing. The timing in the summer, and especially in August, is everything, because you really can find yourself more so now than ever when these teams just come in and can offer these huge contracts to players and just change a player's mind just like that. You know, a player goes from being entirely focused on you to being lured, tempted by the prospect of playing in Saudi Arabia just like that overnight. So that's a huge problem, not only for clubs like Roma, but for just about anybody, because that happens more and more often. And you have to have the strength to stand your ground, but also the discussion. To have the discussion, to have a face-to-face confrontation with the player in question and see really if you can change his mind. Because I refuse to believe that that Roma were completely indifferent to this, that Roma just went into those talks with Alcazia and, you know, willing to get rid of Paulo Dybala. I think Roma went into those talks, but also on in their spare time, behind the scenes, they for sure had to have had some sort of confrontation with Paulo Dybala, some explanation regarding his change of heart, some inquiry about his real determination to pursue this offer from Saudi Arabia, because it took him a week. It took him a week to communicate yes. this decision that he would like to join Alcazia. So that's not a player who is 100% sold on something. That's a player who is full of doubts, who is questioning a lot of things, and who must be comforted by the team who regards him as their best player. That's so that has had to happen before all of this. So I can't imagine that Roma just stood on the side and said, you know, fine, go ahead, do whatever you want. I'm pretty sure that there was a lot of discussions inside the club, regardless of who was advising him, whether the agent, the intermediaries. Those people never look after your interests, okay? Those people are always looking, at the end of the day, to make the largest cut. So Paulo Dybala, thankfully, realized what's important to him. Right? To him, to the team, not to his agent, not to the intermediary, not to some guy who's going to earn 10% of the fee. He understood what's best for him. And that's what matters. That's what matters to Roma, is that now they have a player that they can still count on. You know, you don't have to repair this relationship. You don't have to mend it. You don't have to address it. Because what he did, the step that he took, and the club that took also a step towards him and said, no, you're important, you're staying. That's the only way you can go about facing this next season. Because going into this season with an unhappy Paulo Dybala would have been, would have led to an implosion of sorts within the locker room. This time, we are looking at a player who is committed, is convinced, knows the fans care about him the way they haven't cared about a player in God knows how long. Okay.
Yes.
That's for a player like Dybala, who thrives when he feels the confidence of the crowd. That's everything.
And it would have been interesting to see that palpable anger if he agreed to go. You juxtapose that to just a few summers ago of that scene at the Palazzo della Gioventù Italiana. It was such a polar opposites of the welcome versus the exit. This hero's welcome, so to speak, versus an exit that not only comes late, but really does not look out for the overall interests of the club. You know, if you were going to go in June. And the interesting thing, too, is I think just by staying by this season, his future is going to be this thing that lingers throughout the season. I think we would. I think we understood that coming into that anyway. Even if he were to go next summer, because that offer is still going to be on the table, by the way, from Saudi Arabia, he can go next summer without any problems. You will see some people obviously hurt by the fact he leaves, but you will not. The way he is remembered or held in the esteem people have for him versus if he were to leave in just one season for free versus how he would have left this summer. It is almost like you are not cementing your legacy, but preserving your legacy of a player of Roma. It is interesting to see sort of the very quick snap change of outlook that people have for this guy. Simply by him remaining. Now, one thing I do want to talk about, because this also was brought up when I made that tweet, was this thing of, well, if Roma wanted to keep him, why would they have benched him last week against in the first match of the season against Cagliari? Why would they have done that? It's a simple answer, right? I mean, the guy was talking about the transfer throughout the week. Daniele De Rossi was clearly and obviously and rightfully worried of his mindset. So he brought him off the bench. It's not beyond that, right?
It happens all the time. Not only for the player's concentration, but also for the player's well-being. Because what if he plays 70 minutes and gets injured, you know? And then the deal collapses, and then you have a player who's, again, unhappy, unfit, and whatnot. So you have to minimize the risks in those situations. Even the fact that he played 20 minutes already speaks to the fact that how desperate Roma were, that they needed to rely on him, despite knowing fully well that this was a player whose focus was entirely somewhere else. So no matter what Daniele De Rossi said, anybody who's in Dybala's position at that point in time is thinking about the possibility of leaving rather than the match at hand.
So you are not buying into this thing that was somehow a sign from Roma that they wanted him to go?
Of kicking him out? No, never. I never got the impression that Roma, again, if Roma want to get rid of you, they will get rid of you. The fact that they do not go any further in those negotiations with Alcazia tells you all you need to know about their stance in the matter. I think they were just surprised. They were just shocked that Paulo Dybala could leave and so late in the window. They were going to see if they can satisfy his request because he handed a request. Nothing came of it because the club considered him too important and the player understood that. So that's why I say in this situation, I think it's a matter of two parties taking the decision to work together. So it's not Roma saying no. It's not Dybala saying no. It's both of them saying no at the same time.
I completely agree. Now, as for this Sunday, Empoli and... Again, we're not going to. If you think I'm going to pull up a list of what they did this summer, no, I'm not doing it.
It's the wrong podcast.
Yeah, well, no. I said this to you as we signed off yesterday. And maybe you looked. Name one player besides Solbakken. Name two players that they brought in this summer.
Ample. I don't know.
Can't do it. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So we're not going to come on here and pretend that they shouldn't win this match. But the fact of the matter is, the way I, and this is very unfair again, I mean, to hinge your entire view, your entire outlook of not only this upcoming Sunday, but the entire season. I mean, how much does this shift for you expectations or does it not at all?
Well,
because to me, I think of that period of adaptation that would have been required to get comfortable of playing without Paulo Dybala, of learning sort of the mechanisms of the team, the who is in which role, all of this stuff. I mean, this has to change also, too, for you, right before we began recording. Zaleski to Napoli.
Could be a possibility, yes.
In exchange for a guy who... I truly don't know what to think of him. Well, for starters, because he gained his name or infamy in recent years in a place that just Veneto.
Yeah, but he did well at Hellas Verona.
We're not going to be basing our judgment, John, on a player based on your tourist views of Italy.
We're not going to be judging players based on what you think of the city that they played in. We're not going to start doing that on this program.
So, Ngonja is who we are referring to. He was so good at Verona. Now, part of me thinks that a lot of what he encountered initially at Napoli, I mean, he came in right when they were playing all of the hits last season.
Not only that, he comes in because Verona are falling apart. Verona are selling everybody with a minimal value on the market. They're selling them. And Moreover, he comes into a Napoli side that has that I still think has Walter Mazzarri, but near the end.
Yes, that it was spell. 1 month. It was like 2 months after.
Yeah.
After Rudy did the hit and run.
Before Calzona came in. So Ciryl Gönce comes into Napoli at possibly the worst time ever any player could come into a club. Doesn't do much. I think he's got one goal to his name at Napoli. Besides that, he was injured quite a lot. And then obviously Napoli were just a complete mess. And they still are. And that's why a player like him is already looking to move, because Antonio Conte is carrying out a Stalinist purge, you know. I don't see Zaleski lasting a lot under Conte. Now, I may be wrong, and he may turn out to be the next Cafu with Conte, but I doubt it. In terms of character, I don't see that that in Zaleski. Also, what are we talking about? You know, anything can happen. These are the final days of the market, John. We've got. Today we're recording is the 23rd. We got 8 days until the end of the transfer window.
This is when all the hits get played. This is my favorite time, because
the most nonsensical, the most nonsensical hits.
You know how in like NBA on PlayStation, you can what do you call it when it does like the autofill of the season and of the rosters? If you did like
you like fast forwarded basically. Yeah.
I forget what they call that.
Yeah.
Like you simulate the rest of the season. That is what the final days of the transfer market get like. You see the most random, nonsensical, out of thin air operations get done. I mean, this is why I love Serie A, because you will get guys from like the Premier League that you thought retired half a decade ago coming to Serie A to find their legs again. These are the times when you get Seydou Doumbia, or Boumbia, as he was so fondly remembered for the, I think it was two goals, and I remember one of which was a header against Sassuolo. The other, I do not remember. But he came in the final days of January 2015.
Yeah.
That's when again, these final days of the market are when they bring out the banger, so to speak, where you get some of the most random stuff. Zaleski to Napoli makes no sense in any discernible manner.
Yes, but could you imagine Napoli finding themselves with Zaleski and Spinazzola? I mean, that's incredible, isn't that that would be an incredible storyline. I wouldn't wish that to Lazio. So I would feel sorry for any Napoli fan that right now has to go and look for a Zaleski compilation on YouTube.
Well, you reap what you sow, so to speak, in the sense that, you know, Antonio Conte, when you are the deal maker, you are the king at Inter, and you for 2 months complain and complain and complain and complain non-stop. This is what you get. This is what you deserve. You get Aurelio De Laurentiis. You want to talk about a market that, of all the big teams in Serie A, their market to me makes so little sense. I mean, the big money they get, the first big operation they do is for a left-footed right winger, which they have 7.5 of, it seems, already. I don't understand it at all. But this is what I mean, the fact he's having to do this, let me trade your garbage for my garbage, so to speak. It warms my heart. Juan Jesus still starting.
Romelu Lukaku, I don't know what it is with this guy, who's working deals for him, but the guy is about to enter once again the final days of the transfer window.
Not knowing where he's playing.
Without having trained with a single team. He hasn't had training camp. He hasn't done anything. And he's in these endless talks with Napoli, for a permanent deal. Nobody wants to buy him. Napoli want to loan him. Chelsea don't want to get rid of him. So this is going to be magic time. This is the time where we got Chris Smalling on a final day. This is the time where we got a Henrik Mkhitaryan out of the blue. This is when we remember the magic time in January when we got Carles Perez out of the blue. You know, this is the time. This is the time. And for Roma, I think it's going to be important to definitely secure an exit for Zaleski, Karsdorp, Smalling. The dream would be also to get
Tammy,
rid of Tammy Abraham.
But
it's difficult because what Roma want for Tammy is around 25 million euros. Who in their right mind would even approach you with that kind of money for a player who's been, I mean, to say that he's been horrid, the latest example of it being on Sunday where he was basically playing for Davide Nicolas Cagliari, that would be a dream. That would be a dream. But Zaleski out of the club would be the next best thing because you'd be getting rid of a guy who you would be losing next year on the free. Anything that you get in return for him, in my eyes, is beneficial. I don't care if it's a minimal fee. I don't care if it's someone else in return in part of an exchange. I don't care. I just want guys who have nothing to give and who are running on fumes, which is what Zaleski has been doing for the past 2 years at Roma, out. I want them out.
Yes. Yes. Not going to go deep into Empoli. And as for deals made on the final days of the market, I promise at some point I am going to unveil the story that here's a name that many may remember, others may not remember, but it was one of the first transfer stories that broke exclusively. And I was so excited. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is great. And it turns out the guy did not make a single appearance for Roma. And I just did a quick Google search. He has been out of football since 2021. He is the same age as me. Carlos Carbonero. Can you remember that name?
I don't think I was that single, John. I don't think I was.
I was married at this time. But if you want to know the depravity to which I had to go to get this exclusive, and I was so excited. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you're getting this big guy. He's coming to Roma. He's coming from River Plate. It's going to be great. No. Google that name, Carlos Carbonaro. Wow. You want to talk about playing the hits. That is such a fat oof. And then if you go back to that summer too, Urbi Emanuelsson, Cashley Cole. Wasn't that the Young Gambiwa as well that summer?
Of course.
He was January, if I'm not mistaken.
Of course. Yeah, he was January on loan. Yes, he comes on loan in the final months.
Playing all the hits.
Yep.
I am just looking forward to the fact that poor Nicola Zalewski, I mean, you want to talk about catching strays from Andy Mattioli on a consistent basis. The fact he's going to be on his way out, he's like 50 Cent. He has all of these bullet holes around his body.
I'm sorry, but that's just, I mean, yeah, but
it's.
Let me listen. I'm just
he
gonna.
He stinks. Come on, he's.
No,
he
I want to. Stinks. I want to just check Zaleski stats by club because if I want to see. Has he improved that terrible statistic of one assist in like 100 games or so? So I just want to see. Let me get this open on Transfer Market. Let's see.
I have it. Here we go. The answer would be no.
100. listen, guys. This is 107 appearances for Roma. Okay. 2 goals, which I don't even remember. And 7 assists in 107 appearances as not a fullback, but most of the time as a wingback. Okay? So how is
two
that
goals?
Even
if I had a gun to my head, if somebody comes and breaks in right
anything.
Now and my life depends upon, he's holding the thing to the back of my head and he says, you have to name even with the most general description, his two goals, I couldn't do it.
I have no idea. It says he's got two goals in Serie A and three assists in 73 appearances. So, and then he's got two assists in 22 Europa League games. I'm speechless. I'm speechless in how bad do you have to be in order to have those stats despite starting regularly for the team. So to me, this is clearly a player that is trapped in some kind of pressure cooker with Roma, with the fact that he's playing for his boyhood club, whatever, maybe out of position, you know, whatever happened along the way, his development was messed up. He needs to go, not only for our sake, but primarily for his sake, because this is a player who's trapped and will not figure himself out here. So the fact that when he plays for Poland, he shows signs of life already give you a hint that the problem is within this place, within this team that cannot accommodate him and he cannot serve.
All joking and criticism aside, I don't want to see what happened to him as it did Florenzi, a guy who clearly had no place, who had no role, but was merely forced into it simply by way of the environment, all of the pressure being on him, being the captain. Just go. It's okay to go. Go. Oh, okay. We will leave it there. We will be back after the weekend between Roma and Empoli. Paulo Dybala remains. This was take two of episode 484. We will be back in a few days. Until next time, ciao.